United States Steel, USS, presents the Theater Guild on the air. Tonight's play, Payment Deferred. Tonight's stars, Charles Laughton and Elsa Lanchester. United States Steel Corporation, the world's greatest maker of steel, identified by the familiar USS trademark, invites you to listen to the Theater Guild production of Payment Deferred by Jeffrey Dell, starring Charles Laughton and Elsa Lanchester. And now Lawrence Langner, co-director with Teresa Helburn of the Theater Guild, one of America's foremost theatrical producers, will introduce the play. Mr. Langner.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. The Theater Guild on the Air is on tour again, and we are presenting this play tonight in Hollywood before a large audience in the auditorium of the E. Bell Theater. Playing the role of William Marble in our play tonight is the celebrated stage and motion picture star, Charles Laughton, and with him is his wife, Elsa Lanchester. In the original London and New York stage productions of Payment Deferred, Mr. Laughton played the same role as he's playing tonight. Miss Lanchester originally played his daughter, Winnie Marble, but tonight she will play Annie Marble, his wife, so she still remains in the family.
And now the 500,000 stockholders and employees of United States Steel invite you to listen to the Theater Guild on the Air production of Jeffrey Dell's suspenseful drama, Payment Deferred, starring Charles Laughton and Elsa Lanchester.
There is a house for rent at number 53 Malcolm Road, Dulwich, England. It is a shabby house on a shabby street. Once it was the home of William Marble, bank clerk. At present, the shutters are closed, and the paint on its weather-beaten exterior is chipping off. Standing on the porch, a real estate agent, accompanied by a prospective tenant, is unlocking the front door.
Step right in, sir.
Quite dark in here, Mr. Hammond. Spooky.
Yes, I suppose it is. Half a mo till I open the shutters.
Ah, that's better. I've never been in a house where there's been a murder committed. I've half a mind to take it. It has a kind of attraction for me.
If you're quick, it's yours for the asking.
You knew him, didn't you, Mr. Hammond?
Will Marble? Oh, knew him for years. Rented him this house myself. My own place is right next door.
One can imagine the idea creeping into his brain, his mind gradually becoming fascinated. That little bottle of poison just outside there in the hall cupboard.
If you ask me what was at the bottom of it, I'd say it was his wife. Probably nagging at him till he didn't rightly know what he was doing. I'll take my oath she drove him to it.
Really?
I should say it all started 2 years ago or more. They were on their uppers. The poor devil was at his wits' end. Wasn't a shop around here would give him any more credit, and he'd borrowed to the limit from everybody down at the bank.
Fine state of affairs, Annie, when a man can't have an egg for his breakfast.
Well, since you've only been allowing me 40 shillings for the house, dear...
That's it, blame me. Perhaps if you were a better manager...
If I were a better manager, I don't think that's quite fair, Will. I really don't.
Next, you'll be throwing it up to me again about my losing our savings and that investment.
I never did, Will.
Well, look at us. Stony broke, owing money all over the
place.
Don't
get too worked up about it, Will.
I know. I'm a failure. Go on, say it.
Be quiet, Will. Here comes Winnie.
Good morning, Mother, Father.
Morning, Winnie.
Come sit down to your breakfast, dear.
Oh, I'm not hungry, just some toast.
You might braid your hair before you come to the table.
I've time enough for that before school.
Yeah.
Mrs. Hammond was saying only last night, Will, over the wall, she doesn't know what she's to do about the cost of living herself. As she said...
I don't care for Mrs. Hammond's opinions. The point is what we can afford. It's pretty clear from the bills we can't make both ends meet.
Oh, you know, some of the bills are yours, dear.
Meaning what, my girl?
The chemist's bill. All those photography things you bought... Films and hypo and cyanide or something.
Oh, Mum, that's his photograph stuff with a red label. It's poison.
Cyanide. Yes, I'd forgotten. Looks as if that might come in use.
Well, what do you mean?
What I say, it looks as if we may need a drop before we're through. Well, it's soon over, so I've heard.
Oh, how can you say things like that, dear, before Winnie,
well, it may come to that yet. It's getting too much for me, Annie. I can't get away from it all for a single second to lay awake at night.
Yes, dear, I know.
Now I've got to go down to the bank and count someone else's money all day. It's ironic, that's what that is.
Never mind, dear. Something will turn up.
Well, I'm not one to believe in miracles. Goodbye.
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 Oh, all he ever talks about anymore is money, money, money. I'm set to the teeth with it.
Winnie, you should be ashamed. You've no idea how hard your father works. How kind he really is. He's not himself these days. You don't know how proud he is.
Judson, old boy, I don't like to ask, but I was wondering if you might let me have a fiver for a day or so.
Oh, but this is only the third of the month.
I know, but something unexpected came up. I'd pay you back in a day or so.
Oh, I couldn't do it, sorry.
Look here, old man, if you could just let me have something.
Not a shilling. Is that plain enough?
Thank you.
There'll be no more groceries on credit, Mr. Marble, and that's my last word on the subject.
That's a pretty high-handed attitude.
And what's more, if you don't settle up at once,
I'll... You'll get nowhere threatening me, Mr. Evans.
You've had plenty of warning.
I'll see that you don't get a penny.
There are laws to see that I do, Mr. Marble.
You wouldn't take it to court, Evans.
Wouldn't I? As a matter of fact, I've already started action, Mr. Marble. Him and his bowler at the city clothes... And not a shilling in his pocket.
Four and eight's 12 and three's 15.
For heaven's sake, Winnie, stop kicking that table and go to bed.
Oh, sorry, Father.
Lord knows I've got enough of these infernal bills.
Poor
that
Will.
Noise.
I want so to move from this horrible neighborhood.
Winnie, be still.
I can't raise a penny anywhere, and with heaven's about to take it to court, well, if the bank gets wind of it, my job wouldn't be worth that.
After 20 years' service...
It'd mean the end of us, Annie.
Oh, no.
Oh, good Lord. Who's that?
It's probably Charlie Hammond, dear.
No, you know how he rings. Evans hasn't wasted much time.
Shall I answer it?
Yes, dear, see who it is. Now, Will, don't look like that.
Is Mr. Marble at home?
Oh, will you come in, please? He's in the living room.
Oh, thanks, miss.
That's not Charlie. It's Evans' man. I know it.
Wait now.
Right in here, sir. Father! Somebody for you.
Good evening. I'm sorry if I scared you. You look as if you'd seen a ghost. Mr. Marble, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, good. I found your first shot. I don't expect you know me.
No, I don't think so.
Well, it's some time since you saw me last. I was about four, I think. My name's Medland.
Medland?
Jim Medland. My mother was your older sister, wasn't she?
No. Not Wynn's boy. Good Lord, you must excuse me. You gave me a bit of a turn coming in sudden like that. Here, let me introduce you. This is Annie, your aunt, I mean.
How do you do?
Nicely, thank you. This is a surprise.
Yes, I'm sorry to burst in on you like this without letting you know, but I've only just landed from Australia.
Oh, I'm sure we're very pleased.
Winnie, dear, that is a new cousin for you. This is our girl.
How do you do?
We named her after your mother, you know.
Oh, yes?
Well, you better sit down for a bit and tell us all the news.
Yes, rather. I'll just go and get rid of my taxi.
Taxi?
Yes, he's waiting. I wasn't sure I'd got the right place.
Oh.
I shan't be a moment.
Taxi, eh?
Oh, well, He might be able to help us.
I know. Did you see that coat he was wearing? That's worth a tidy sum. That, besides, you can't get over here from Australia unless you've got a water dough.
Oh, Will, do you think he would lend us some money?
Perhaps, but I've got to handle it very carefully. Now, listen to me, Annie. You two clear out after a bit, will you? Just leave this to me.
All right, and what about the whiskey, dear? You'll have to offer.
I'm not wasting whiskey on a mere boy. Look out, here he comes.
I say, does it always rain like this in England?
No, not quite always. Here, Jim, sit by the fire and get warm.
Thank you.
Well, and how's your mother after all this time?
Mother died 6 months ago.
I say, I'd no idea. That's terrible, that is.
Yes, she never really got better after the shock of Father's death.
Tom dead, too? You don't say so. Well, upon my soul, that is rough and no mistake. Any of your father's family here?
No, you're the only relatives I have in the world, so far as I know. I thought I'd look you up right away.
Yes, quite right.
I thought you'd know the best hotel to stay at.
Well, that depends, of course.
Well, someone on the boat said the Carlton wasn't bad.
The Carlton? Yes, well, you might do worse. Good deal worse. Of course, it isn't exactly what I should call cheap, but I suppose that doesn't matter much.
Well, I'll give it around for a day or so while I have a look around, eh?
Have you seen many kangaroos?
Oh, yes, rather. I've hunted them quite a bit.
Kangaroos. What will she be thinking of next, eh? Give a nose to kid.
Winnie, school tomorrow. Better get to bed.
It's not bedtime, surely. Well, Winnie, haven't you got a kiss for your poor old father?
Good night, Father.
Good night, Winnie.
Good night.
Oh, by the way, Annie, what about a bit of supper for our young nephew here?
Well, I'm afraid we haven't anything very nice.
Please, don't worry about me. I had something before I came down. I'd like to smoke, though, if I may.
Why, of course.
Here, have one of mine.
You try one of mine.
I don't mind if I... I say, that's a nice case you've got. Sort of combination affair, isn't it? Cigarette case and wallet. Very neat.
Yes, birthday present. It's rather well made.
Well lined, too.
Oh, those are Australian cigarettes.
Oh.
Oh, the money, you mean.
Yeah, well, that is rather a lot, isn't it, for a young man to be carrying about on him?
Oh, I don't know.
Not for you, eh? Oh, don't you bother to sit up, Annie, if your head's bad. I expect Jim will excuse you if you feel you'd rather go on.
Oh, I say, I'm awfully sorry. I didn't realize you were feeling rotten. I'll go.
No, please. You stay and talk to Will for a bit. He so seldom gets anyone fresh to talk to. I'll just say good night now, if you don't mind.
Well, of course not.
And you'll come again to see us often, won't you?
I'd like to, thanks.
Well, good night.
Well, Jim, what are your plans? Are you going to stay over here? For good, I mean.
Well, yes, provided I get a job which suits me.
I was just thinking that you probably want to invest your capital, that's all.
Oh, well, my money's nearly all tied up.
Did your mother ever tell you anything about my job, I wonder?
Yes, I think so. To do with a bank, isn't
it? Yes, that's right. County National Foreign Exchange Department. Been in it all my life, buying and selling money, you know. It's a bit of luck for you that you turned up just a moment when I might be able to do you rather a good turn.
Me? Well, how do you mean?
Well, Jim, through my job, I get bits of information that don't reach everybody. I've got a tip that the franc is going to be stabilized. It's going to rise like the very devil.
I'm afraid it's all rather like Greek to
me. Oh, it's simple enough. Francs are going up. Anybody who buys them now will make a small fortune.
Well, what's it got to do with me?
Well, you've got the capital, and I've got the knowledge. It seems to me we ought to make a pretty strong combination.
Oh, I've really very little money that I can touch, and... Well, what's more, I don't think I'd be interested.
You don't object to making money, do you?
No, perhaps not, but... Well, the truth is, I don't much like the sound of
perhaps it. Perhaps I haven't made it clear enough.
No, it isn't that. It's just that I don't want to have anything to do with it.
Now, look here, don't you be a young fool. I know a devil of a lot more about this game than you do, and I'll tell you it's a chance of a lifetime. You take my advice and think it over before you turn
down... It wouldn't be any use. I'm quite certain now.
I see. I say... You're not resenting what I said just now, I...
Oh, let's forget it. I must be moving.
Hey, you can't go like that. I mean, I shall feel that you're fed up about what I've been saying to you, Jim.
Please, let's not talk about it anymore.
I must explain. I've been having a bit of trouble lately. Well, I don't see why you shouldn't know. Over money. You see, I've got Annie and the kid to think of, and if I don't find £100 pretty quick, it means the poor house for the three of us. You're old enough to understand what that means to anyone that's always kept themselves respectable.
I'm sorry.
I think the shame of it would kill me. I wonder if I might ask you a great favor. There's no one else I can go to. Will you lend me a
100?
Well, just till the end of the month. I swear I'll pay you back every penny.
I really don't have it to spare.
I just don't know which way to turn, Jim. Straight I don't.
I'm afraid I must say goodnight.
Jim, I can't let you go like this. I never should forgive myself.
It's all right.
But I should feel that you would never want to come here again, you see.
Well, to be candid, I'm not very keen. You see, I came down here looking forward tremendously to seeing my own people. The only ones I've got. And from practically the first, you've done nothing but try to get money out of me one way and another. I'm sorry to have to talk to you like this, but I...
You're quite justified.
Oh, I say, I'm awfully sorry.
No,
I...
you were quite right. It's not much use me apologizing. I've behaved very badly. Oh,
forget it, please. I really must go.
I do ask one thing, though. Before you leave, would you have a drink with me? Just to show there's no ill feeling?
There's no ill feeling.
Oh, come on, then. You're needing it before you go out in that weather.
Well,
that's
all right.
That's the way. Now, you sit down half a minute while I get the whiskey.
It'll have to be rather a quick one.
Well, the bottle's just out here in the hall cupboard. I won't be a moment. You take a look at that photograph on the table, Jim. Don't you know anybody there?
Well, is this your wedding picture?
That's right. I was proud as a peacock in those days. Nothing fazed me then. The world was my oyster and no mistake. Life's a rum business any way you look at it. Well, never mind. Here's your drink.
Oh, thank you.
Well, drink up.
Cheer up.
Me, Constable Marble.
Well, doing a bit of gardening on a night like this?
Lost something. My wallet. I dropped it as I came in.
Wait a minute. I'll give you some light.
No.
I'll throw my torch in there.
Never mind. I found it. I found it just as you came along, Constable. I was just going into the house.
Found it, eh? Well, that's luck. Good night, Mr. Marble. Oh, you better get out of those wet clothes.
Yes.
Last night.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
Your clothes. Look, they're full of mud. And they're hardly dry yet. Did you fall?
Yes, I took young Medlin to get a taxi. I came in the back way and I fell in the garden. Mm. It was pouring. And...
Oh. It was awfully nice of the boy to lend the money anyway. We must try and pay him back as soon as possible, Will.
Of course. In time. Who's that?
I don't know who it could be so early in the morning. Will, what's the matter? Are you having a chill?
I just feel a bit queer, dear. It's nothing.
Oh, I'll see who it is.
Ah, Mrs. Marble.
Hello, Mr. Hammond. Come in.
Well. Hello, Will. How goes it?
Oh, it's you, Hammond.
Who did you think it was? Lloyd George? Well, I see you started digging your garden.
What?
Doing a bit of work out there, haven't you? Those weeds...
I haven't touched them. It must be that dog of Kingston's. It's always straying about.
Ah, you better hire him, then. Clean the garden for you cheap, eh?
Yes, that's right.
How is your real estate business, Mr. Hammond?
Oh, fair, Mrs. M. No cause for complaint. By the way, I recently secured a new tenant for that vacant shop at the corner.
Oh, the new dress shop.
That's right. Madame Collins is the proprietor, a foreigner.
French, isn't she?
Yes. Married this Collins chap. He's in a nursing home. Bit of a looker she is. Better keep an eye on Will here. Look, Will, what I dropped in to see you about. We've got a property on our books that would suit you two down to the ground. Out in the country a bit. You'd like that, wouldn't you, Mrs.
Oh,
M?
Yes, I would.
We're not moving.
Lower rates, not much farther to the city.
I don't care if it's Buckingham Palace rent-free. I don't want it. That's plain enough, isn't it?
Well, no need to jump down a fellow's throat.
Right, I'm sorry, only don't keep on about moving. We shall never leave here.
Well, I was only trying to be helpful. Well, I'll be going along. Goodbye, Mrs. Marble.
Goodbye, Mr. Hammond.
Goodbye, Will.
Bye, Charlie. I'm sorry.
No harm done.
Will, you were pretty hard on poor Mr. Hammond.
Get me a glass, Annie. I want a whiskey. That you, Annie?
Yes, dear.
Where have you been? It's after 6.
Oh, Winnie and I just walked to the cleaners and called for your suit.
Well, hurry up and get your things off. I've got something to tell you.
Oh, what's this book, Father?
Put that book down.
Medical jurisprudence.
Put that book down, dear.
Such a queer sounding
name. It doesn't concern you.
Oh, all right, Father.
What did you want to tell us, Will?
Oh, it's nothing really to get excited about, I suppose. It's only that I pulled off a little deal, merely a matter of finance, which, of course, wouldn't interest you.
But, Will, what is it? Have you made some money?
Yes, a little. The right side of £30,000, shall we say.
£30,000?
Made an investment in francs.
But, Will, how can you have made all that?
Don't believe me, I am.
Well, dear, I hardly know what to think. It's all so sudden. I can't understand.
It's not so difficult. It's just a question of knowing the right time to buy and having the guts to chance it. We're rich, Annie.
Oh, Will, this isn't a joke, is it?
Joke? It's not a joke. You can have anything you want, Annie. What'll it be?
Oh, you know what I've always wanted.
What's that, dear?
A little house in the country.
Oh, yes, Father, can we?
No, you can't.
Well, I'm sorry, dear.
You can have anything except that. As a matter of fact, I've fixed up this afternoon to buy this place.
Oh, but, Father, you know I hate this place.
Winnie, run along. I want to talk to your father.
Oh, why can't we move now?
Will?
Yes, dear?
Will, couldn't you tell me?
Tell you?
All about it, I mean.
About what? I don't know what you're talking about, Annie.
My dear, I'd never blame you. Whatever you'd done, really I wouldn't.
How do you mean, whatever I'd done?
Will, can't you trust me? It frightens me not knowing. I'd rather you told me everything.
I don't know what you're driving at, Annie.
I couldn't help guessing, dear. You looked so worried. Jumping so when anyone knocked. Don't you see?
What have you guessed?
Dear, I tried to think it wasn't that.
What?
I tried to pretend to myself as it was all my imagination, but all the time I knew. I just thought if you could talk to me about it, it might help. There's one thing, Will. Does anyone suspect?
Annie.
All right, dear. We won't talk about it. Only felt that if the bank sent anyone here when you weren't in, I shouldn't know what
to
say.
The bank? Did you say the bank?
When they find the money's gone, I mean. Yes, dear, I guess. I mean a man in your position. Thousands of pounds like that. But I understand, Will. The temptation. Dear, why do you look at me like that? I was bound to know sooner or later, wasn't I? Will, oh, don't, dear. Don't. What is it? What have I said?
You'll be the death of me, Annie.
What do you mean, Will?
You really don't think I'm a thief, do you? It's so funny.
In a moment, we will continue with the second act of Payment Deferred, produced by the Theater Guild on the Air and sponsored by the United States Steel Corporation. And here speaking for United States Steel is George Hicks.
Tonight I am talking to you from Hollywood, but I'm going to be different. Instead of talking about movies and movie stars, I'm going to talk about one of the other favorite subjects of the folks who live out here in California and in the six other Pacific states. That subject is growth, fast growth. And this great agricultural and industrial area certainly has a right to enjoy talking about growth because its expansion is vast and rapid. We of the United States Steel Corporation are a good deal like native sons in our pride over the West Coast's steady growth. That's because steel and products of steel have played such an important part in its development. First, the railroads with thousands of miles of steel rails and bridges helped open up this rich and beautiful country. Then came more thousands of miles of steel-reinforced concrete highways and steel wire for the telegraph and telephone lines that bound the West Coast together and joined it with the rest of the nation. Tools and machinery of steel developed the mines, farms, oil fields, and growing industries. And steel helped build the giant hydroelectric projects which brought power and light, plus great dams to irrigate desert lands and make them productive. In the early days of the West Coast development, almost all steel was brought in from the industrial East. But with the founding of Columbia Steel Company, which is the western subsidiary of United States Steel Corporation, the West began to produce important quantities of its own steel. And like the area it serves, Columbia Steel has grown steadily over the years. Now, Columbia, always in step with the West, has already entered an era of accelerated expansion. This West Coast member of United States Steel's great industrial family is now planning and building in order to serve better this fast-growing part of America. And all over America, wherever U.S. Steel has a mill, a plant, a warehouse, or an office, the spirit of better service is the keynote of every United States Steel operation.
pause now for station identification.
Your station is KECA Los Angeles.
You are listening to the Theater Guild on the Air, sponsored by the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel. Tonight's play, Jeffrey Dell's exciting melodrama, Payment Deferred, stars Charles Lawton and Elsa Lanchester. Now the curtain rises on the second act.
Well, it is now a few weeks later, and William Marble's worries about money are over. But there is a little less poison in a certain bottle that Mr. Marble keeps in the cupboard for his photography. There is a place in the garden that looks as if someone had been digging there. And there is no trace at all of the rich young nephew from Australia.
Will, stop staring out at the garden. Aren't you going to work this morning?
No.
Will it be all right? I mean for you to stay at home today.
I've quit the job.
You've quit? You're not going to work anymore.
Not for the County National. 20 years of being ordered about like a blooming dog's quite enough for yours truly. I'm independent now. I can do as I please, you hear? I won't be ordered about by anybody.
Oh, Will, I'm worried about
you. Worried about me? Why? Why should you be worried about me?
Well, you seem so nervous, dear. You seem to have something on your mind.
Something on my mind? What do you mean? What are you talking about?
I didn't mean anything, Will. It's just that you do nothing but sit in that chair all day long, dear. Can't I help in any way?
The bills are all paid, aren't they? That's what we wanted, wasn't it? Money. Well, we've got money, and I'll thank you to leave me alone.
All right, Will. Would you like some tea, dear?
No.
All right.
Hello, Mother. Hello, Father.
Hello, Winnie. Where have you been?
Shopping. Look, Father, what I got with the money you gave me.
What is it?
Green garters. Gladys Brown's got some, and she thinks she's everything. Wait till she sees these.
Oh, Winnie.
Little money makes a difference, eh, Winnie?
Oh, does it, though? It's so much more fun being rich.
What a kid, eh?
Oh, there are ever so many more things I want to get. A hat, coat, dresses.
You have a good warm coat, Winnie. You don't need another one.
Oh, Mother, that old one I have is not what they're wearing at all.
Winnie.
I want to get one like Gladys has.
Too extravagant.
Oh, let the kid get what she wants.
Thank you, Father.
But, Will, I don't think it's right when she has a perfectly good coat.
We've got the money. And what difference does it make if she has one coat and half a dozen? I can pay for them, can't I?
Yes, Will, it wasn't that. I just don't think Winnie should get into expensive habits, that's all.
I won't have any more about what I can afford and what I can't afford. Do you understand? I won't have it.
Will, there's no need to fly off the handle. I only said...
Enough to drive a man dotty. I won't have any more of this money talk.
Will, where are you going?
I'm going out.
Mind if I walk along with you, Will? Ah, beautiful day, isn't it?
I was just going to Hudson's grocery, Charlie.
Hudson's? Aren't you trading with Evans anymore?
No, he got nasty about a bill. He'll never get another penny's business from me.
Is that a fact? Well, I don't blame you, Will. You've got the laugh on him since you made that killing in Frank's. You can get all the credit you want now, eh?
I suppose I can.
You seem rather glum, old boy.
Oh, I've just been a bit off my feed lately.
Oh, I say, look. Here comes something to cheer you up.
What's that?
It's that French dressmaker I told you about. That Madame Collins. Not half bad, eh? I'll introduce you.
I'd rather you didn't.
Oh, nonsense, nonsense. Oh, she's a cute trick, all right. And does she know it? Well, well, well. Good afternoon, Madame Collins.
Oh, Mr. Hammond.
That's right. Madame Collins, I'd like you to make the acquaintance of my friend, Mr. William Marble.
How do you do?
Not the celebrated Mr. Marble.
That's right.
Don't know so much about the celebrated part.
Oh, but yes, everyone in the neighborhood talks about the Mr. Marble, who made a fortune in France.
I wouldn't say it was a fortune, exactly.
Oh, Will did himself very well, he did.
Now, to me, it's so wonderful how you men of finance know just what is going to happen. How do you do it, Mr. Marble?
Oh, I'm afraid that's rather a long story, Madam Collins. Matter of information, you know. Knowledge of conditions and that sort of thing.
Oh, it must be fascinating. Oh, to me, at least, with my little shop and no one to advise me.
If ever I can be of any service in the way of investments, madam, I'd be very glad
to... Would you, Mr. Marble? Oh, that would be wonderful. And perhaps you will come to see my little shop?
Why, yes. Perhaps I will.
¶¶
Waiter, you can bring us the bill now.
Yes, sir, right away.
Did you enjoy your dinner?
Oh, but it was perfect. One can see that you are accustomed to dining in great style.
Oh, I don't know. I don't go out often. Do you have a cigarette?
Oh, such a beautiful case. A present from a lady.
No. I bought it myself.
Oh, come now. You don't expect me to believe such a story.
No, really. I mean, Madam Collins. I say, I don't know your first name.
And should you?
Like to.
Very well. It is Marguerite. But my friends call me Rita.
Including me?
If you like.
I do. Rita, I say, you're beautiful, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you're lovely.
Be careful, not in here.
I can't resist kissing you.
Mr. Marble, you should not have done that.
I'm sorry.
You're a very naughty man.
What if I am? It's your fault.
Oh, so it's my fault and why?
Well, you're so... Oh, I don't know. You're wonderful, Rita. I've never met anybody like you.
And how many ladies have you told them?
No, I mean it. I've got to see you again tomorrow night.
Perhaps. Right.
Where's that miserable waiter of ours?
He will be along. Is there such a hurry? You just finished your drink.
I want another.
Maybe you drink a little too much.
I'm all right.
You seem so nervous. Is anything wrong?
Nothing's wrong. Look here, Rita. We can't go on like this, meeting in bar rooms and restaurants. I've just got to see you alone. Well, we won't have to worry about people. You know, people talk.
And where would we meet?
My house. Will you come, Rita?
Come to your house? And how would your wife like that?
Oh, I fixed that. Sending her away with a kid for holiday. They'll be gone 3 weeks. We'll have the house to ourselves. What are you laughing at?
You amuse me. You great, big, strong men of affairs.
No.
No sooner you thought of something, and voila, c'est arrangé. And I have nothing to say about the matter.
I'm sorry. I rather thought you'd like to come.
I only tease you.
You do?
Yes, of course I would like to come to your house. Send them away, darling. Send them away quickly.
Drink, Rita?
No. Should I not turn on the lights?
No, it's much nicer like this.
Eh bien, chérie. What are you thinking about?
Oh, just nothing in particular.
But you must be. You've just been standing there staring out the window. Is there something so interesting in the garden?
What do you mean?
My goodness, I didn't mean anything. I just wondered why you were so quiet.
Well, I suppose I've been thinking. You know, they'll be home tomorrow. It's our last evening.
You've missed them very much?
You know I haven't, Rita. These 3 weeks have been wonderful. You don't know what it's meant to me, you coming in like this. At times, I almost managed to forget.
That you have a wife?
No, not that.
What?
Oh, nothing, just enough. Get out of the garden, will you? Get out, you hear me, you filthy little
what
beggar!
What is it?
Kid from next door changing his ball. Get out there!
But he won't hurt anything.
I'll show that young puppy. I'll teach him to stay off my property.
No, the boy's doing no harm.
Little devil, maybe that'll teach him to stay out of my garden. Dirty little beggar.
You struck him.
That'll teach him. Well, why are you looking at me like that?
I do not know, and I do not understand. I'm a little frightened.
Why, Rita, why are you frightened?
You fly into such rages.
Well, I just don't want people running over my property. The little mucker had no business out
there. But is it any reason to get into such a state? I think maybe I will go now.
No, Rita, don't go. Don't leave me alone tonight. Our last night. I'm sorry. I was just a little upset, that's all. Please stay. Let me get you a drink. I'm quite all right now.
If I stay, will you do something for me?
Oh, anything, Rita.
You will help me?
Court any way I can. What is it, dear?
Darling, it is my shop. I must have £300 for my shop.
What? 300? Good Lord.
Well, if I do not get it quickly, I must be made bankrupt.
300?
Oh, what a fine lover you are. You say that you love me.
I'm not made of money, you know.
You have plenty of money for everything but me. Look at this house. It's furnished like a palace.
Do you expect me to live the way we used to in a miserable hovel?
Other times you were not so stingy with your money, begging for a kiss like a little puppy dog. Oh, very well. Forget the whole thing. I will go. And perhaps it's best I do not see you anymore.
Rita, don't go. Look here. I don't say but what I might be able to manage. A little toward it, anyhow. There's no sense in having a row.
Who has a row, mon Dieu? I do not have a row.
It's all right, then. Kiss me, Rita.
Well, all right. You do love me, you bad boy.
Oh, yes, Rita, I do.
And you will help me?
You're marvelous, Rita. You always get your way. All right, I'll help you.
And you will give me the money tonight?
Yes, I suppose so. But, Rita, I can't keep this up.
It's only that the poor little shop, you see,
oh,
darling.
Lord.
What's the matter now?
A taxi just drove up. It's Annie and Winnie.
Oh, no.
Rita, get out of here. Quick, you better go the back way. Hurry, and for heaven's sake.
Oh, I must get my things.
They're on the chair. Hurry, Rita.
I'm going. You don't forget. Tomorrow the check, my darling.
Get out, get out. I'm coming. Just a minute.
Well, hello, Father. We're home.
Hello, Winnie. Didn't expect you until tomorrow. Is your mother coming in?
Well, of course she's coming in. She's just paying the taxi. Oh, goodness, what a mess this living room is.
Oh, I was going to straighten that up this evening. Did you have a good holiday?
Oh, yes. Well, Father, look, isn't that someone going through our garden?
Garden? No, it couldn't
but
be.
But, Father, there's someone going out the back. Why, it's Madame Collins.
No, oh, no, it couldn't be. She hasn't been in here. She hasn't been in this house.
Hello, Will. Oh, what an awful mess the place is
in. Why didn't you let me know you were coming home today?
Well, it doesn't matter, does it? Aren't you glad to see us?
Of course I am, dear. And
I thought we should hurry back. You see, Winnie found an article in the paper.
In our hotel reading room, Father.
About your nephew, young Mr. Medland.
Medland? What about him?
Well, I thought you should learn of it right away.
What is it? Give me that paper.
See, it's an advertisement. Solicitors asking information as to the whereabouts of James Colville Medland of Brisbane, Australia. Well, this may explain why he never heard from him again.
What do you expect me to do about it?
But Father, he's missing and anything might have happened
to
him.
The boy may be off on the continent for a trip. He could be 100 places if he's disappeared. It's none of our business, I tell you.
I only thought, Will, since he's our relative and been so kind
to us. You've all you can do to mind your own affairs. Now, I don't want to hear any more about it. You get your hat and coat off and calm down. I'll take your bags upstairs.
I'm so worried about you, Father.
I should think you would be. He's acting so queer and drinking.
Winnie.
Well, he is drinking an awful lot, Mother. Look at the bottles.
I know.
Why does he keep reading the same old book?
What book?
Well, this one on medical jurisprudence, all about poison and murder trials.
No.
Just listen to this, Mother. He's even marked the page. Death is practically instantaneous, and after death...
Don't, Winnie.
That's the same book he bought before we went away. This part about cyanide must be his favorite. The thumb marks all over it.
Cyanide?
Well, you really ought to do something about Father.
Yes. Run along, Winnie. Start unpacking. I'll be up in a few moments.
Oh, all right, Mother.
After death, the body often retains the appearance of life. It is some time before rigor mortis sets in, the cheeks being red and the muscles continuing to flex. Death is practically instantaneous.
Annie, what you doing with that book?
Jim Medlin. Oh, no, Will. No. 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 No!
In a moment, we will continue with the third act of Payment Deferred, produced by the Theater Guild on the air and sponsored by the United States Steel Corporation. And here again, speaking for United States Steel, is George Hicks.
Probably most of the people who visit the West Coast these days are as impressed as I am with the industrial future of this great area. It's a future which holds a promise of tremendous expansion and prosperity. The United States Steel Corporation is working toward that future. The western member of the United States Steel family, the Columbia Steel Company, has already begun a huge program of expansion and modernization. Since its founding, Columbia's steel-producing facilities have kept pace with the growth of this area, and now the present great plant is being expanded still more to meet the needs of tomorrow. A new steel mill is rising at Pittsburgh, California. It's a tin plate and sheet steel mill which will cover almost 25 acres, and inside steel products will speed through tremendous machines at the rate of 45 miles an hour. This highly modern mill will cost $25 million. And when it's finished, it will turn out almost 500,000 tons of tin plate and sheet steel every year. Columbia's new mill will be a major source of supply for Western agriculture and industry. It will provide steel products for billions of cans to preserve the products of Western farmers, steel for refrigerators, steel for stoves, for garden tools, pots and pans, and thousands of things we all use. Western industry will be able to grow faster and produce more because of this new rolling mill. But that is not all Columbia plans. Undoubtedly, you've heard of the government-owned steel plant at Geneva, Utah. During the war, it was designed, built, and operated for the government by United States Steel on a non-profit basis. A few days ago, United States Steel submitted a bid to purchase the Geneva plant for $47.5 million. Furthermore, if this bid is accepted, United States Steel has pledged itself to spend over $18 million more to make the changes which are necessary to equip Geneva for peacetime operation. If the bid is accepted, Geneva will be operated by Columbia Steel Company and will produce hundreds of thousands of tons of steel for use in the West. Combined with the new Columbia Mill, these operations will be an immense asset to the entire Pacific Coast region. Altogether, United States Steel proposes to spend at least $91 million. To improve its service to the West. The corporation is prepared to spend $91 million to help make the future of the West a great one. Working, planning, and building for the future is part of the job of the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel.
And now the curtain rises on Act Three of Jeffrey Dell's thrilling melodrama, Payment Deferred, starring Charles Laughton and Elsa Lanchester. Produced by the Theater Guild on the Air and sponsored by the United States Steel Corporation.
Passed now since the stormy night that William Marble poisoned his rich young nephew, Jim Medland. Marble still sits at the window and stares out into the garden where Medland lies buried. He cannot put the murder out of his mind. And yet his horrible secret is a little easier to bear now, because he does not bear it alone.
You've hardly had anything to eat, Will.
No, I don't feel I can eat any. No, I was just thinking. A year ago, I thought money would solve everything. We haven't got much out of it, have we? Fat lot of use it's been, really.
No, except that it's given Winnie a good start.
I'm not even sure of that. She's not the same girl, Annie. She gives herself airs, and the people she runs around with, they're not our sort, dear. She'd be looking down on us directly. What time did she get here?
Oh, she should be here any moment.
When is she going back to school?
Why, dear? She's not going back, I told you. She's going to work for Mr. Gammons, the photographer.
Oh, yes. That means she'll be here all the time.
Of course, Will. This is her home. Don't you want her?
No, I don't. I can't help it, Annie. These last 3 weeks that she's been away with those friends of hers, we've gotten along so well. We don't want anybody else.
It has been more like it used to be before.
You've been fine, Annie. I don't know how you've stuck it. It must have been awful for you. It was having it all to myself that made me feel like that. God, you don't know what it was like.
I do now, Will. Is that you, dear?
Yes.
Come in, Winnie. Did you have a nice time with your friends?
As good as you can have without the right clothes.
What's wrong with your clothes?
Oh, Father, you're impossible. Father, my hair's a mess. I can't do a thing with this new pyramid.
It looks very pretty to me, dear.
I always liked your hair the way it was.
And your new silk frock has come from the shop.
How's that? Oh, by the way, Mother, I won't be taking that photography job. I'll find a better place.
Winnie.
Where?
Oh, I met someone at Paula's, a man.
He's got a friend who runs a ballroom in Regent Street where they give lessons. He said he could get me a job.
What as?
As a dancing partner at first, and afterwards I might be taken on as an instructor.
You can get out of your head at once. I know what ballrooms in Regent Street mean.
I'm going to do it no matter what you say.
Yeah, you be careful what you're saying.
I won't. You always do everything you can to stop me having any fun.
You don't be ridiculous. This fella can't be any good getting you into a place
don't
like
you
that.
Don't you dare say anything about him. He's a jolly sight better than you are.
Really, Winnie, your own top.
Ask him then. Ask him about that French woman, Madame Collins.
Shut up, little fool.
I won't shut up. She was here in this very house when we came back from Bournemouth last summer.
Shut up!
You know she was. I didn't know then what it meant, but I do now. I'm leaving this rotten house for good.
You
devil! Goodbye, Mother. Winnie, come back.
She'll be back, Annie.
I'm going after her.
You can't go out in that rain, Annie.
Winnie! Well, she's gone. I couldn't stop her.
Come in, Annie. You're wet through.
Will.
Yes, dear.
What made Winnie say that about Madame Collins, Will? She wasn't here, was she?
Of course not. She's off her head, talking wild.
Whatever made her think of Madame Collins? She went back to France nearly a year ago. I can't imagine what Winnie was thinking.
Oh, she'd say anything.
But she must have had some reason.
If she had, I don't know anything about it. You don't think I'd let you down, Annie?
No. I know you wouldn't really. But, oh, well, I couldn't bear to think that you'd been untrue to me. If I thought that, I don't think I could go on. I'd kill myself.
Annie, there's never been anything. I swear.
Oh, I know, dear, really. I'm just silly. I trust you, Will. Always.
Annie, you're drenched through. Now, you're going to catch a chill. I'm going to put you to bed. You mustn't get down sick, Annie.
Your wife's not at all well, Mr. Marble. You should have a nurse.
I won't have strangers wandering about this house. I'll take care of her.
You don't look any too fit yourself, Mr. Marble. Oh, you should have help.
I'm quite all right, Doctor. I don't want anybody. Well, I'll take care of Annie. You know, she's just worried about our daughter.
No word from the girl?
Not a word. And that's what got poor Annie down, that and running out in the rain the night Winnie left.
Well, you get the medicine, give her plenty of fruit juice. And for heaven's sake, man, take care of yourself, too.
Oh, I'll be all right, Doctor.
Well, at least try to get some sunshine. Sit out in the garden in the afternoon.
The garden? Yes, Doctor. Annie, are you awake?
Yes, Will.
How do you feel this morning?
Oh, just terribly weak.
I'll get you some more fruit juice.
I don't really want any, Will.
But the doctor said you had to, Annie. I'd better fix the hot water bottle.
You've been so kind, Will.
We gotta get you well.
Has there been any wood, Will, of Winnie? Didn't like her to run away.
She'll be back, Annie.
Why ever did she say that about Madame Collins, Will?
Madame Collins?
I don't understand.
Winnie was just talking a lot of nonsense.
I don't know what I'd do without you, Will.
Now, you try not to worry, Annie. Just you try and get well. I'll go and squeeze the oranges now. Is there anything else you want, dear?
No. Only please don't leave me for long. Somehow I can't bear to be alone anymore.
I know, Annie, I know.
I start imagining things, such horrible things. If we could only get away from here.
You try to sleep a little if you can, dear. I won't be long.
Hello, Cherie.
Rita, what are you doing here?
Let me in, please.
Who is it, Will?
Oh, it's nobody, Annie. It's only the paper boy with the papers. You must go away at once. My wife, you see, she's ill. She's terribly ill, and she's upstairs now.
Well?
Well, she'll hear you. She mustn't know you're here. It'd upset her. She couldn't stand the slightest shock.
But I have come from the continent on purpose to talk to you.
Well, I'm not going to listen to you. See, I've finished with you. I wish I'd never set eyes on you.
Listen to me. The last time you sent any money was before Christmas. I write three letters to which you do not answer. I tell you, I must have money.
I'm sick to death of the whole business, being bled by a rotten, dirty little blackmailer. And you're not going to get another penny out of me.
No, suppose I say to you that I must have £500.
You can say it, you won't get it.
Perhaps you think differently if I say I must tell some things to your wife.
What?
I might have to tell her about 3 weeks, when she was in Bournemouth.
You couldn't. She wouldn't believe you. Besides, she's ill, I tell you. If she had a shock like that,
is
she?
Ah, so. She's never found out anything, huh? Thank you. That is just what I wish to know.
You devil!
Now we've stood a long time. You'll write for me a check.
I can't do it, Rita.
Here's a pen. Sit down.
Rita.
Where's your book? Now, you will write a check for bearer for £500.
Yes, but
if you do one thing to stop it, you know what will happen. If it is there, you will not hear from me again.
This can't go on, you know. Soon there won't be anything for you to get. Then I suppose you'll be satisfied.
Will. Where are you, Will? You've been gone so long. I've got to find you, Will. Will, where are you? Will, I'm coming down.
To heaven, I'd never laid eyes on you. I hope never to see you again.
No, is that a nice way to talk to your reader?
Get away from me.
You'll forget easily, darling. Me, I shall never forget. I think of the afternoons, just at this time, when you sit in the old chair waiting. And while you're looking out into the garden, I creep in, and I put my hands to cover your eyes. And then you jump out of the chair and hold me in your arms.
Well,
remember.
Oh, no.
What was that? It sounded like something in the hall.
I heard nothing. You're nervous, darling.
I'll write the check, Rita, and then you must go.
Nah, that is my darling.
You remember, this is the last time.
Of course.
Good Lord. That must be the doctor. Now, he mustn't find you here. Get out the back
I will go
way.
Now, and remember, do not try to stop this
For
check.
For God's sake, Rita, get out.
Goodbye, my darling.
Get out. I'm coming, Doctor. Just a minute, I'm coming.
Oh, you didn't share my first drink.
Oh, I was squeezing some fruit juices. Come in, Doctor.
Everything all right?
Yes, quite. She's a bit brighter today.
I thought for a moment she was worse. You look flustered.
I'm all right.
She had a lunch?
Yes, I fetched her tray.
What about you?
Me?
You're not looking too good. See here, old man, you don't want to get down just as we're getting her well.
No.
Go up and see her now. Mr. Marble.
Yes, Doctor. Doctor, is anything wrong?
Yes.
Is she bad again?
She's dead.
Dead? Dead? How can she be?
Must have just happened. Not more than a few minutes.
Annie!
She appears to have been poisoned.
Poisoned?
Is there any poison in the house?
No! No! At least not where she could get it.
What poison was there in the house?
It's cyanide. I had it for photography. I've had it for some time.
Where did you keep it?
Well, it's here in this cupboard at the foot of the stairs. She couldn't have got it, possibly.
Is this the bottle?
Yes. But it was half full.
When did you give her fruit juice last?
About 3/4 hour ago. Why?
Did you see her drink it?
Yes. There can't have been anything in that. I took it upstairs and I didn't leave her until I brought the glass down with the other things.
Where is that glass?
Well, it's here on the tray in the hall with the other things. No, it isn't. But it was here. Do you take it?
I got this glass from beside her bed.
Yes, but Doctor, there was only the one glass. I brought it down. It was there on the tray. Doctor, she couldn't have got downstairs alone.
I know that too, Marble.
Then how did the glass get upstairs?
That's what they'll want to know.
Hey? Oh. Aha. Oh. You think I killed her? Annie.
The old story, my friend. Him carrying on with another woman and the two of them wanting the wife out of the way. Judge himself said there couldn't have been a plainer case. The motive was there. They proved the poison was in the cupboard. They proved she couldn't have gotten it herself. They hanged him, of course.
I'll take the place. About the garden, it's in a shocking state. I never saw so many weeds. It'll take a lot of digging to root them out.
Yes, and if you ask me, I should say that you would have to dig pretty deep.
The curtain has fallen on the Theater Guild on the Air production of Payment Deferred, sponsored by the United States Steel Corporation, starring Charles Lawton and Elsa Lanchester. The cast tonight included Maria Manton, Susan Douglas, Bill Johnson, Joe Kearns, Gail Gordon, Herb Rawlinson, Gain Whitman, Eddie Marr, and Franklin Parker. And here's Lawrence Langer again to tell you about next week's Theater Guild play to be presented by United States Steel. Mr. Langer.
Ladies and gentlemen, next Sunday night we are broadcasting from San Francisco, and we're going to bring you John Garfield, Leo Carrillo, and June Havoc in Sidney Howard's successful comedy, They Knew What They Wanted. We've chosen this play for our San Francisco program, not only because it was one of our most successful comedies, but also because it's about the famous Napa Valley, only a few miles from the Golden Gate. Moreover, its author, the late Sidney Howard, was born in San Francisco and, as a boy, lived in that same Napa Valley. So, if you listen in next week, we'll bring you from California an important play written by a native Californian about California. And now, here's Mr. Brokenshire again.
The United States Steel Corporation hopes that you'll be with us again next week at the same time, when the Theater Guild on the Air will present Sidney Howard's comedy drama, They Knew What They Wanted, starring John Garfield, June Havoc, and Leo Carrillo. Remember to listen next week to They Knew What They Wanted. And remember, too, that when you see the USS label on any product, it means the steel is good. We're happy to remind our listeners that Charles Lawton may be currently seen in the Universal production because of him. And Elsa Lanchester may currently be seen in the RKO production, The Spiral Staircase. The staff for the Theater Guild on the Air includes Homer Fickett, director, George Condolf, producer, and Armina Marshall, executive director of the radio department. Music for tonight's play was composed and conducted by Harold Levy, and the play adapted for radio by Gerald Holland. Your announcer, Norman Brokenshire.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.